My intention this semester was to go back to where when Birthday Sunday happened, we would have a special topic or we would have a special lesson. Because of a few cancellations and things like that, we had to abandon that for a little bit. But Mr. Chandler came and he taught on biblical finances, and we enjoyed that lesson. And I may ask him to come back and do kind of a review or a next step or next phase. But I decided to teach on a topic that really doesn't interest you, but I thought I would do it anyways, all right? Most of the time when we teach, we start in chapter 1, verse 1, and we go all the way through the book. And that is so that you know it's not thus saith Justin, it's thus saith the Lord. And so if you're like, oh, talking about freedom and our freedoms in Christ, Galatians 5. I can go back to Galatians 5. Well, this is a more topical type of lesson, but I wanted to root it in a passage, okay? And it's actually one that I have done with the youth group before, but we wanted it, the elders discussed, we wanted it as like a standalone on our website so that if parents ask this question, they can go back and they can listen. And I am sure some of them will be incredibly thrilled what I have to say. And some of them might have a few concerns about what I have to say. All right, and I want to just kind of clear the air on some of these things. There is mostly strong biblical truth that I'm teaching you, but then we'll get into some of the Christian liberties and freedoms, and I will, you know, tell you where I land on some of that, but your parents may land on something different, and that's okay, all right? When it comes to the book of Ephesians, the theme is, in him, our position and practice in Christ. So the first three chapters, it's talking about doctrine. You once formerly were far off, but now you have been brought near. You are dead in your trespasses and sins, but God has now made you alive. You are saved by grace, but you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to work for him, to live for him. But then when you get to chapter 4, it's no longer about our position in Christ. It's our practice in Christ. Don't steal. Don't lie. You know, all of those things. The section that we're looking at today is practicing obedience to the Lord in our relationships. In our relationships. That's where he gets to. And he says, look, if you're a Christian, if you have recognized your sin, repented, and placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, husbands and wives, your relationship should look different than the rest of the world. You can probably think of umpteen horror stories of unbelievers and their marriages and poof. Well, that's because you have two sinners sinning, and then poof. But God's design is for two believers to both submit to the word, to both submit to him, and then do the same thing because thus saith the Lord. And it's the same thing when it comes with parents and children. And you love that passage so much. You honor and obey your parents. Why? Because God told you to. God saved you. Christ died for you. He rescued you. He renewed you. And now your relationship with your parents looks different than all of the other kids at school. It looks different than the other kids on your team. Because you are a Christian, you submit to God's path and God's plan. And it's the same when it comes to slaves and masters as the third relationship in that. All right? I want us to start with this question is, why is marriage so important? Why is marriage so important? But in that, we have to address, is it okay not to be married? Is it okay not to be married? And some, all right, they look at different levels of holiness. And they'll say, oh, look, this person was single their whole life. They must be extra holy. You think of like monks and nuns and stuff like that. And then others look at that and say, look, no, God told us to be fruitful and multiply, and so you're not doing that. So can you think of any key people in the Bible that never got married? Isaiah? Paul never got married. And Paul wrote this, okay? Now, Paul, it was wise of him not to get married because you know what happened to him? He had to travel from place to place to place to place. And if his wife was back in Jerusalem going, wow, you've been in Ephesus for quite some time. You ever coming home, honey? And if he took her with him, they're taking him out on the streets and they're beating him. And she's like, oh, just another Tuesday. Or he's thinking, well, they came after me. I can handle that. But you know what? If they came after my wife. So Paul said, look, for ultimate freedom, I can go where I need to go. I can do what I need to do. But some want that ultimate freedom now, and it's from a selfishness, right? I don't want to, you know, share my money with anybody. I want to buy more stuff, you know, all of those things and stuff like that. Paul did it for Christ. If you are single for Christ, rock on. Who also was Jesus, other person not married, okay? So you can't say one is holier than the other because we have key examples in that. Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians 7. He says, now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, but because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife and each woman is to have her own husband. This isn't saying that, oh, just because you couldn't have self-control, I guess you got to get married. He walks through this in 1 Corinthians 7. And we go back to Adam, right? God looked at it and said, it's Adam, I know this man. It is not good for Adam to be alone. He needs a helpmate. So it created Eve and they got married. And he told them to be fruitful and multiply. So singleness is fine. Being married is fine. There's not one that's better than the other. But I want us to ask now the question, why would I want to get married? Why would I want to get married? And for some of you, I don't know how biblical your response would be. I want financial security. I just want kids. I just want to be able to engage in sexual activities. Those are the things that you would list on why you want to get married. I want you to consider what the Bible says, and I want you to know that if you get marriage right, you get companionship and encouragement in the race. Hebrews 12, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. All right, I know some weird people that run like marathons and half marathons and stuff like that. And they normally have like a group of buddies, all right? It's like the people that eat sushi. Sushi's gross, but if you have enough people that say it's good, then they're all like, it's awesome, let's go. It's like, no one says like, you know what, I'm just gonna go run a marathon by myself. They gotta go trick their dad into it or their brother or something like that, and they all go do it together. But then when you're running, imagine if your family was there and they were like, you stink, come home. No, it's like, go daddy, go. And you're like, I could do this. Well, to have someone who's with you and you love them and they love you and you're building each other up and you're praying for each other, man, that's awesome. To have that, right? To have that companionship and to have that encouragement. Martin Luther says, there is no more lovely, friendly, and charming relationship, communion, or company than a good marriage. And you're like, oh man, Martin Luther, I love that guy. You also gotta know one of his quotes was, it doesn't matter if you're physically attracted to the other person whatsoever, two Christians should be able to go boom and make it happen, which is true in some regard. But you don't have to go that far with it, all right? If you get marriage right, you also get proper training for the next generation, all right? Many of you have come to know the Lord because mom and dad have raised you and has taught you. Now, God saved you, but they taught you the word and they brought you to church and they modeled Christ, okay? If you get marriage right, then Christ is glorified. And you bring up children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. All right, it's not a guarantee that they're going to be saved, but it's what's right. The last one, and we're going to explore this in Ephesians 5, is you get a model of Christ in the church for the world to see. A model of Christ in the church for the world to see. Even when you go over to big church and you're talking about divorce and remarriage, most of the world thinks that that's terrible and that's archaic, right? If you don't like the relationship, then it didn't work out, you guys should boop and you should part. Or the world's going to say, look, you really got to live with someone. Live with someone before you get married because how else do you know if it's going to work out or not? All right, so I'm going to go into a situation where there's no long-term commitment. And the moment things don't go my way, I'm going to pull the ripcord and parachute out. Now, one man, one woman, joined one flesh. That's the design. And when we do things right, we model Christ to others. And when people look at your marriage and they go, wow, why are you so different? Why do you love and why do you submit and why do you do what you do? Well, it's because I'm modeling Christ in the church. And I know it's a little bit long, but let's read through Ephesians 5, starting in verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. So in the book of Ephesians, remember he's talking a lot about the church, the Gentiles, the Jews, they're together in Christ. And he's trying to explain to them what the church is. And he says, look, well, look at marriage for a moment. In the marriage relationship, the husband is the head. But as the head, he loves. And the wife, the body, submits. Well, the same way in the church. Christ is the head, the church submits. All right? Let's move on to verse 24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. So he starts out with this mystery is great. And you're like, what, marriage? Marriage is a mystery? No, he clarifies. He says, I'm speaking in reference to Christ and the church. Remember, the Jews and the Gentiles, the church together, was the mystery that was hidden from previous administrations. But through Paul, he was making this reveal. All right? And when it comes to marriage, he goes on and says, I am talking about Christ and the church, but nevertheless, each individual among you is also to love his own wife as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Marriage is the picture of what the church should look like. The husband is to love his wife. And you're like, oh, I got that. That's easy. That means you just like, you get her some flowers on her birthday. That's what love is. No, it's more than that. It's more than just dying for her. Would you die for her? Okay, would you live for her? Would you listen to her? Would you walk with her? Would you talk with her? Would you seek to meet her needs? And when it comes to love or to respecting or to submitting, the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. The word means to have a profound measure of respect for, to listen to. And this, when you consider, what does this have to do with dating or courtship or whatever, guys, this is where you're going. Any type of guy-girl relationship that's more than friends, okay, it's going, or it needs to be going, to this. And this is a very, very lofty standard. And it's a very, very important thing. And if you get the end game wrong, then the process to get there is also going to be wrong. It's going to be wrong. Now, when I talk about dating, all right, what I am getting at here, all right, some would call it courtship, call it whatever you want. You got girl in the blue skirt who is single. And somehow, some way, girl in the blue skirt gets married. All right, so whatever you want to call that. All right, that is what I am talking about from this point on, all right? There's a few things we need to understand with this and some questions for you to consider as you go through this, right? We know what marriage is. We know what marriage looks like. When I start this, I want you to ask yourselves, what do your parents say, all right? Some of you, I highly doubt, they may already have an arranged marriage going on, right? That you laugh, but what do your parents say, right? And here's where it gets a little fuzzy, all right? Because I am going to say some things. And some of the things that I say, your parents are going to go, rock on, I agree with you 100%. And then some of them, they're going to have questions about. And some of the things I might say, they might not necessarily agree with, okay? My disclaimer, if your parents want to discuss this lesson with me, make sure you reflect what I say accurately. Just talking with a parent, hey, what'd your daughter think of the lesson? Well, she said that I'm dumb if I don't let her date. I'm like, oh, I don't remember saying that. And he's like, I know, she's either joking or maybe that's not what I, and then I won't discuss it with them until they listen to the lesson. because they're going to answer the question that they have. Now, I would love to talk it through with them, but I want them to listen to the lesson so they know what they say. I am not your parent. I'm not. Now, I clean up after you like I'm your parent sometimes, right? I'm not your parent. They are your parent. You are ultimately responsible to them. And I don't want to create any wedge between you and them, but there are some things that I want you to consider, and there are some thoughtful things that I would like for your parents to consider and to think through as they make this very difficult decision, right? Some parents, they believe you've never needed to wait. There is no standard or parameter. They have, since you were 6 years old, they pick that girl from the neighborhood and they're like, let's go, baby. I want you out of the house. I want someone else paying the bills and I want grandbabies. Go, go, go. And that really is, some don't have any type of guideline or standard or help. That's not helpful, right? It's not helpful. And that's not what we're going for, but I'm just telling you, that's where some of the people are at, okay? Some will say you need to wait. Waiting can be good, but they'll say you need to wait until you graduate high school. Now, that's a very safe thing, right? Okay? What they're thinking is if you're 18, you're an adult, you are closer to being able to provide or to have an avenue to provide, right? There is some safeguards with that. And if this is where your parents land, then you need to submit to them, okay? You do. My counter to that, right? Typically, when you graduate high school, what do? You go somewhere. You go away. You go to college. Now, I know some of you don't, all right? And that's okay. Maybe that's the path of the plan. But you go somewhere, all right? So when, as a parent, would I rather guide my kids through the most difficult thing in their life? When they're in my house. Does that mean I'm going to push them when they're not ready? Oh, no. We'll get to that. But I want them trying to make that phone call, trying to go to that event, with the feedback that Kim and I can give and can work through this. And I know this gets awkward because my kids are in the high school group. And Tucker didn't see this and decide not to come today. He's taking the ACT because he loves his mother and he's honoring and obeying her. To have this, do I go to this dance? Do I not go to this dance? Do I go out with this and can I do this and can I do that? And then when they get home, how did this go? And did you open the door? Why didn't you open the door? You should open the door. And what about this? And all of those, they're in our house and we're interacting with them, right? And then when you get to college, I know that you're gonna be calling and texting your mom and dad every day. I know, probably not. And it could work later from a time frame, but this is just what I am encouraging, all right? For the parents to kind of think through that, all right? I would argue that you need to wait until you are mature enough in Christ and you find someone else mature enough in Christ. Because some of you are going to go home and say, Mom and Dad, Justin said I should start dating now. And if they called me, I would say, not your kid. But you said that they should, they're not mature enough. Do you agree? Oh yeah, I agree. But I mean, you said the whole, they got to start in high school. I'm not saying they have to start in high school. I'm just saying you don't have to start an arbitrary time like that. If you want to do that as a family, that's between you and the Lord. Do that. They're your kids. But are you mature enough? And is the person you're interested mature enough? Because some of you are like, look, I'm just going to take a big old net and I'm just going to throw it out there and whatever pops in, that's my catch. I'm going to take a bunch of darts and just start throwing it at people and whoever texts me back, boom, I'm in. No, you need to know someone well enough and understand someone well enough that they're also mature enough to walk through this process, okay? So what do your parents say? If your parents say no, then you say, I love you, Jesus. Thank you for these parents, and I submit. If your parents say, yes, I am open to you pursuing and exploring and listening to offers or whatnot, whatever it may be, what did their parents say? If their parents say no, and you know that, and you pursue them anyways, what have you become? You've become a stumbling block. Thanks. It's exactly what you are. Okay? Because it's constantly a constant. And you're creating this dynamic of disobeying mom and dad, and it's like, oh, did us doing this get to that point of you disobeying? That's not fair. That's not fair. Sometimes the parents know better than you if that person is ready. If that person is ready. Let me ask you this. Are you walking with the Lord? Are your ways His ways? Is He your delight? If the answer is not yes, then you need to pursue Jesus before you pursue anything else. That is numero uno in your life. But what about the other person? Is the other person walking with the Lord? You do get that whole love and submission thing, right? You may find the most beautiful woman ever to marry you, but she might be the thorn in your side for the rest of your life because she didn't love Jesus. Man, she looks good. She didn't love Jesus. That guy may be a gamillionaire, provide your every need, but he may not love you whatsoever. What'd you get from that? Guys, do you know that the woman is going to spend the majority of the time raising your kids and influencing your kids? You have got to get that right. You've got to get that right. That's the number one priority. It's not looks or popularity or how they can provide for you. Well, how do I know that, all right? These things aren't perfect, but, you know, have they ever filled out a ministry application? And I'm not saying that you've done that and we're gold stamping into heaven. We've had lots of people lie and trick us on that. But at least, okay, they don't get ministry approved if they don't have a knowledge and an understanding of the gospel. Now, I'm going to get a flood of ministry applications next week. It's not what I'm going for. It's just a conversation point. It's something to think through, all right? At least there's been some interaction there on the profession of faith and an affirmation from your leaders and things along those lines. But what's their commitment to church? Now, I know your parents drive you, most of you. So your commitment is tied to your parents' commitment. I get that. I had a good friend in high school. Every Sunday he went to the Catholic Church. And it's like, what? Well, he didn't want to go there. He came to know the Lord. But he did that to honor and obey his parents, and he'd come with us on Wednesday. So there are things that you need to think through from that. But what about service? Are they serving anywhere? Are they a servant, period? Or are they a me, black hole type of person? You want those people that serve, because when you get into that marriage relationship, guys, because the dating thing, they can trick you. They can fool you, right? So you need to observe them when they're not in that. What is their heart and what is their passion and how do they treat people? And it's not magically if I start dating them, poof, they're going to get better. They might be a better liar when they get into it. How do they relate to their parents? And I say this all the time. How do those young ladies respect their father? Do they respect their father's wishes on modesty and dress and attire? Or do they fight their father on that? Because if they fight him now, what makes you think they're not going to fight you later? Do those young men love their moms and speak well of their moms? Well, if they don't, what makes you think they're going to do that for you? Are you walking with the Lord? Are they walking with the Lord? And here's the thing is, you don't have like a, what do you call those things the detectives have? Magnifying glass? You only get a magnifying glass and put it over their heart and go, oh yeah, great. So that's why it takes time, and that's why it takes wisdom, and that's why it takes observation. And when you are interested in someone, all right, I would say some helpful questions, and they're not weird, is, you know, what have you been reading lately? You know, what would you share your testimony with me? You know, those are things that are really helpful. You know, I didn't ask him if I could tell this story, but I'm sure she's okay. But we were at a college retreat at this place for navigators. Navigators is a college group. And it was a really weird place because there were showers, but no one used them except me. So everyone thought I was weird because I took a shower. And I'm like, look, guys, you all have a shower here and you didn't use it. And you think I'm the weird one? What? But there was someone that I was interested in. I was trying to get to know her, and we're playing outpost, and it was a horrible outpost with sharp sticks and trees and stuff like that. So we're in jail, and so I just asked her, what have you been reading lately? And you know what she said? Like, nothing. And I'm like, well, jailbreak! You know, but Kim was, I'm pretty sure she was there, and she heard that, and there's that interaction, right? And so that was something that was a really easy thing to say, look, she may love the Lord, she may know Jesus for real, but I want someone who already has an established pattern of obedience and reading, all right? Those are logical things that we need to think through. Are you consistently cultivating the essentials in your life? Is the one you're interested in doing those things? I'm not saying you got to go look up their Bible quiz score. But if they're not reading, how are they going to wash you with the word? If they're not praying, you think you can do marriage without prayer? No. Fellowship, worship, all of those things are so important. And you see what I'm doing here? On one hand, I'm saying, hey, I think it's time for you to talk to your parents about the possibility of this. But at the same time, for some of you, I'm going, stop it. Because until you get these things right, it should be stop it. It should be. Are you mature enough to create and keep safeguards in your relationship? Hey, look, my parents really like it that we never text after 9 p.m. We never text here. We never do that. You know, those things. Are you okay sitting down and listening to those safeguards put in place by those parents? And we're never alone. We're always going out with groups. If you're going to buck against that and be like, well, then you're not mature enough to actually start that process. It's the same thing like when I talk to parents and I'm like, look, do you regularly check the cell phone activity of your kids? And they're like, oh, I don't think they'd go for that. And I'm like, well, then don't give them a phone. The agreement is, hey, here's a phone. But I'm going to go through every single bit of it. That's not fair. No phone. Well, it's the same thing with a relationship. The parents say, this is it. This is the safeguard. These are the standards. Are you okay with it? No. Okay, then you don't have a relationship. Well, yes. But are they mature enough to follow those things, okay? When it comes to, you know, physicality. When it comes to the things like that, all right? Let me go back up to this one because we're not quite done with that. Are you going to be mature enough to create some of those safeguards, but are you going to follow those safeguards? Both what your parents put up and the other person's parents put up. It's very important. And if you're not mature enough to do that, then you're not mature enough for a relationship. If they're not. Young ladies, if they try to push you into physical intimacy that is not appropriate, then that is not the one for you. I'm sorry. You may really enjoy them. But if they're going to use and abuse you in that way, and that's what it is, then you got to run from that. You got to run from that. Difficult to hear, difficult to say. Are you mature enough to have this relationship and not abandon your friends, family, and ministry? You know where I'm going with this, right? Is the other person mature enough? For some of you, man, I got my bros. Yo, we're so tight. It's so good. And then, oh, hey, here's a girl. Hey, come on. Hey, what are you doing? Hey, whatever. You show up to church. Do you still go here? Are you in our small groups over here? Or you're serving somewhere? If you're not mature enough to serve and serve the Lord, that's what you're there for. I'm going to say it. I'm going to be up front. Youth group is not your date time. The event is not your date. If your parents won't let you go out on a date, don't show up to a youth event and make that your date. Play the game. Be there, involved, and invested in whatever it is. Now, I'm not saying that a boy and girl can't ever talk. No, that's good. But are you shirking the responsibilities you have in other places? Those friends that you love and care for, are you ghosting them and ignoring them because now you're too cool and you got this other person? It's very, very difficult. It's very difficult, okay? That's why if you're not ready, you need to make that call. You need to listen to your parents to make that call. Right? Because all of this leads to marriage. Here are some tips and thoughts on dating and courtship. I mentioned parents in their preferences. Why do parents say different things? Well, no, there is not a thus saith the Lord, you must get married when you're 19th, or you can't date until whatever, all right? Keeping in mind, in Bible times, things were significantly different. There were a lot of arranged marriages and things like that. You had people getting married at a significantly earlier age. We have this thing where, you know, most people, there's a lot that are getting married at 30 and 32 and whatnot. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but you know, whether it's an education or a accrual or whatever it is, that type of thing, there's different timings on that stuff. But we just have to look at the grand scope of life, all right? Getting married at 16, wasn't that out of the question? For us, that's like, and I'm not saying you should get married at 16. But I'm saying that you're in that target range of getting to a point to proceed to that. Some want the financial security of it. Look, if you are ready for a relationship, you better be ready to afford that relationship. And I get that. I respect that. Take care of this college and do those things and stuff like that. So there's not a set in stone, thus saith the Lord, right? Sometimes it comes from different parents' experiences, what they went through when they were growing up. And they're going to take that, and they've got wisdom to impart to you. Some of it is they just know you really well. And so they know what you can handle and not handle. And so you trust in them. Well, you know, which one's the best approach? It's the same thing with schooling, guys. You just need to realize this, right? The Lord doesn't care that you're homeschooled. He doesn't care that you're homeschooled. He cares that you love him and are walking in his ways. So if you're public school, if you're private school, if you're homeschool, but you call yourself private, or you're really a private school kid and you're still clinging on to the homeschool kid, it doesn't matter. All of those approaches are accurate. All of those approaches are fine. With dating, it is as well, except I would say if it's the laissez-faire, hands off, you go figure it out, kid. Parent, you got to buck up. Start helping them out. Start working through some of those things. You know, that's just a reality. Now, I would encourage you, group interaction is great. It's a good way to get to know someone, all right? It's not that, you know, when you're at youth group, you're always looking around and you're peering and stuff like that, but you're talking and you're observing. But, you know, maybe there's a group event, y'all go to a homecoming or a prom or a movie or, you know, something like that as a group. You know, even if you're interested in someone, don't be the person that like tricks some wingman and just say, hey, you want to go to the movies, and they go to the movies, but it's really a meetup with your boyfriend, but you had to bring a friend. You know, don't be like sneaky like that and those things. But that group interaction is helpful. But it's okay under the blessing of your parents to have the one-on-one interaction, but you just need to walk through that and let them know what it is and how we do and stuff like that. When ready, talk to your parents, and I know this is your favorite thing. You always want to talk to your parents. I love it. How was school? Good. How was your day? Good. Take some time and talk to them and say, look, Mom and Dad, this is what we talked about today, and I would just like, you know, be open. What do you think? What do you see? Where am I at with my walk with the Lord? And they might say, look, if you can't clean your room, you can't love your wife. So why don't you clean your room? Some of you are going to have the most sparkling rooms ever this week. It is what it is. Talk with them. What do you think this is? What's a good thing? What's a bad thing? What do I need to, but don't get mad at them. You need to be honest with yourself, all right? I would say you need to call it what it is. Call it what it is. You ever had the DTR talk? Define the relationship. Do kids still say that today? We had a DTR. Oh, what's that? Define the relationship. Some of you do the whole thing, well, I'm not allowed to date. No, that's great. I'm not allowed to date. But then, and it's like, you're dating. I'm sorry, you are. And if your parents aren't good with that, well, then you need to go to them and say, look, this is our interaction. This is what we're doing. And they might say, no, we need to stop, or we need to change, or we need to alter. And then you need to submit to them. Call it what it is. Be honest and open with your parents. Hey, mom, you know, there is someone at youth group that I'm interested in. Oh, really? Or some might be like, no, you're never going again. But you have to work with them so that they can work with you. I also would challenge you to make sure that you're guarding your heart. You're guarding your heart. And remember that this goes both ways. All right, some of you think just because they text you, you're already planning picket fence, dogs, babies, coming up with names. And it's like, no, it really wasn't that. You know, 1 Timothy 5:2, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters, in all purity. So when it comes to purity, that's the standard, that's the relationship, right? That physical intimacy, some of that is only designed towards later on, designed for marriage. But you have to really think of that as, are you going to treat that young lady, how if someone treated your sister like that? Are you getting out the baseball bat? Going after that guy? Well, are you gonna be that guy? But you need to guard your heart and understand and not go so invested or heartbroken. But again, that's a very difficult thing, right? You need to trust in the Lord. And you're like, I knew that was going to be an application point. But it really is, right? Do you trust him? Has God ever failed you? Has God ever failed you? You can say no, that's right. Has God ever failed you? No. Will he ever fail you? Is he mean? No. He loves you. Does he have a perfect plan in place? 100%. Your plan, you already would be married with 6 kids and a dog. But that's not his plan. So you need to trust in the Lord. Look at Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And you're like, man, I love this. This is my favorite verse. Because I really want a switch too. And all I got to do is delight. No, so the verse is saying, my delights become his delights because he is my delight. But we also know that God loves us. And if you have a desire in your heart to be married one day, he's not just going to dangle that and go, hey, so sorry. But it may not work out when you think it's going to work out. It may not be the timing. It may not be the person that you thought. So you simply delight yourself in him and trust him. And he will work those things out. Understand that you're still growing and so is the one that you're interested in. This is a, you know, when you do get in that relationship, okay? Sometimes we cut people off. We don't forgive them. Oh, they didn't do this or they didn't do that. And they didn't even have a clue, right? I think there's a lot of misunderstanding because now we text and we don't call. Well, you can read something 2 different ways or 3 different ways. So sometimes that call or that face-to-face interaction is very helpful. But you need to just make sure that you serve the Lord, that you grow in him, and you further his kingdom. And you'll be ready when his time comes. His time comes. And I have to reiterate, he gave you your parents. You thank him for your parents. You listen to your parents. You honor and obey your parents. And that's not a bad thing. That's the best thing. All right? If you take care of this, if you day in and day out serve the Lord, grow in him and further his kingdom, you will be ready to love. You will be ready to submit. You will be ready to model Christ in the church to the world when that point comes, all right? If you need any advice or dating tips, JT's in the back. You can talk to him later. I'm kidding, don't do that. Poor JT. All right, let's pray, and then you guys can be dismissed. Lord God, we thank you that you are so good, that you are so gracious, that you are so generous. We thank you, Lord, that you are forgiving and that you are kind. I thank you that we have so many leaders in our youth group that model a biblical marriage for these young men and women to see. I'm thankful, Father, that we have faithful leaders that are single in our group, simply serving you and doing what is right in your eyes. And I pray, Lord, for each one of these young men and young women, that if their desire and your desire is for them to get married, that you would work those things out, but they would patiently trust you through that. May we submit to you, knowing that you know all things and you work out all things for the good of those who love you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.